This Memorial Day, we're reminded that a lot of our fallen soldiers were immigrants and sons and daughters of immigrants. And we are praying that our current leaders recognize those who would love to be here permanently, who call this their home as well. So we God bless America, and God bless everywhere else too. We're so grateful for God at work in all nations, truly. I found this article in the June edition of the Atlantic Journal, and I want to share a little bit and see if you agree with this writer. He said, the world is too big. Too much going on, too much crime, too much violence, too much excitement. It's a strain to keep pace. Science empties its discoveries on you so fast you stagger beneath them in hopeless bewilderment. The political world is news seen so rapidly you're out of breath trying to keep pace with who's in and who's out. Everything is high pressure. Human nature can't endure much more. This is from the June issue of the Atlantic Journal, 1833. 181 years ago, things haven't changed that much, and things have changed totally at the same time. Change, no matter how needed it is extremely difficult, really difficult. If change was easy, we would see a lot of change in this country right now, in this planet. A neurosurgeon in Canada discovered through lab experimentation that when a person is forced to change a fundamental belief or opinion, the brain goes through a chemical transformation very similar to torture. It's torturous to change our minds, according to this scientist. He said the actual physical and emotional pain and discomfort many people go through in life with change is real. Even if the change is for the better, even if it makes our lives better, it's really hard to go through that sometimes. This was apparently true for an elderly woman from Madison, Wisconsin. After she passed away, she left handwritten instructions demanding that there would be no male pallbearers at her funeral. In her written instructions, she wrote, "They wouldn't take me out when I was alive." They ain't taking me out when I'm dead. Writer Sidney Harris said, our dilemma is that we hate change and love it at the same time. What we want is for things to remain the same but get better. It doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't change. It doesn't get better until it changes. And change is the basis of the work that we do in our spiritual life here at Unity of New York. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, considered when he was thinking of a name for the movement, at one time he considered the name Change. Change of New York. It doesn't really have the same. It doesn't really ring. But he said change is such an important part of our spiritual life that he even considered putting that in the title of what we do. If you're new to the Unity philosophy, how many people have been here for, say, less than a half a year or so? Raise your hand. Okay, we have quite a few people who are still kind of new to what we do here, really aren't terribly sure about what they got themselves into in this Sunday morning thing. Well, it's easy to share sometimes what we're not. People have said, well, what is this Unity thing you go to? It's like, well, it's hard to describe sometimes. What we're not is we're not a religion. We are a practical spiritual philosophy. Practical in the way that we practice it daily. When we come against a challenge or an appearance of negativity or lack and limitation, we have a chance to practice these principles that we're learning here. We're also not dogmatic. We certainly have dogma, it simply means teaching, but we're not dogmatic in our teachings and what you have to believe or not believe. We say, you know, we leave it up to you to say, here's what works for us. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, or in other words, use the best and leave the rest. If it works for you, great. And the other ones, just consider, meditate on it, see if it works for you. If it doesn't, leave it alone for a while. And then maybe come back to it. We're also not here to tell you what's right or wrong for you. We're saying, you know, here's, again, what works for us. If it works for you, wonderful. If it doesn't work, you know, take it within. See if it's right for your life at this time. Or say, well, that doesn't really resonate with me at this moment. So we're not here to say you have to believe one way or another. We're saying, here's what works for a lot of us in Unity. We invite you to take a look and meditate on it. But the power of God within you knows what is right or what is not, let's say, creative or non-creative in your own life. Shakespeare puts it so perfectly in Hamlet. He said, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. On the outer, it just is a thing. It just is. Is it good or bad for me? Does it work in my life or does it not work in my life? Do I need to let it alone or can I use this to make my life better? Again, Unity isn't a religion but a philosophy that teaches I am 100% responsible for changing my life. And here are some tools I have to do that. And I do that by changing my thoughts. I do that by changing the words I speak continually or habitually all day, every day. By changing the actions that I take that are contrary to the life that I want, that are inhibiting the flow of my health or my abundance, my success, my love, my peace of mind, or my joy that I'm looking to have but don't seem to be able to quite land on yet. So I, again, am responsible 100% for changing my life, and I do that by changing me, by changing the way I believe, what I'm thinking and feeling and speaking all day, every day. We have what we consider to be the five basic teachings of Unity. They're very simple. And again, you don't have to believe any of them, but generally if you come to Unity, you do resonate with these or you wouldn't be here. The first one is God is absolute good. God is only good. God is not an angry man in the sky determining, again, singing competitions. God doesn't care because God's not a person that cares about who wins a singing competition. That is not the God that we recognize here at Unity. God is absolute good, the spirit of love, the spirit of joy, the spirit of life. Number two is if God is good, I am good. God can only give birth to what God is. Therefore, the fullness of everything that God is within you. You are the full compilation, this drop of water from the full ocean, as it were. So everything that is in the ocean is in the drop. So everything that is in God is in you, the divine drop of God that you are. God does not and never could create anything flawed or sinful. As our dear friend Matthew Fox says, we are born of original blessing, not original sin. There is no original sin. There's only original virtue. Number three, I'm responsible for creating my success or my limitation, again, through my thoughts, through my feelings, through the emotions that I have, through what I believe, through what I live every single day. Number four, through conscious contact, through God, through the Creator within me, because we have to go within, not without. We go inside of ourselves in meditation and in positive, affirmative prayer and allow the good to pour forth in my life. We pray affirmatively, not to make it true, we pray affirmatively because it is true. We ask, we believe, and we receive it as holding to the truth day in and day out. Even if it doesn't appear yet, we are grateful and joyful for that good finally appearing. Every little bit of that showing up, we're grateful for, and we let it happen more and more. And finally, number five, we have to move our feet. We have to put into action this good that we believe. I have to practice it every single day. When I come against a coworker or have an argument with a family member or a loved one, I have to come to myself and say, oh, here's the teaching. I have to remember that God and I are one, my friend, my coworker, my family member, and I are one, and only love is really the answer here. So this is the Unity way of doing our lives. By remembering that God and I are one, I'm powerful, and I have a power within me to let that work. Pretty good teachings, I think, right? Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty workable in our lives. They make sense, and they really, truly, these five things are the basis of everything that we teach on Sunday morning at classes, at workshops, and retreat. All of the work we do here at Unity is based on the notion, on the belief that God is good and you are good, and that you have the power within you to change your life and make it the kind of life that you would like to have. In a nutshell, the one thing that we have to understand about life is that in order for us to have the kind of life that we've been looking for, that we've been dreaming of, that we have been desiring for such a long time, we're going to have to change the way that we've been looking at it, change the way that we've been thinking that it has to be, the way we've been trying to make work by holding on to the same old, worn-out, negative thoughts that don't work at all. We've been trying to make something that is not workable, we're trying to make it work, and we keep trying to do it year after year. We grew up with that, with our family saying, well, here's the way it is, and trying to live from a negative or a limited point of view will never bring the good that we're looking for. They never did work, and they don't work now. The same frantic anxieties and fears, for example, of not having enough money or not being healthy enough. Well, our whole family suffers from fill in the blank. Well, why should the whole family do that? That doesn't have to be. God didn't create this family to be diabetic or whatever. So I had to change my thinking about what I was told my whole life. Or we're getting older, therefore fill in the blank. You're getting older, so therefore if you go on your knees to wash the floor, you can't get up easily. Why not? Well, you just can't, that's why. Well, why? Is God within you weaker today than he was a year ago, 2 years ago? No, not at all. It's the same habitual words and negativity that we keep believing and keep locking into our bodies year after year with ideas like, I'm too poor, I'm too old, I'm too stupid, I'm too unattractive, I'm too untalented, I'm too overwhelmed here in New York to be a success. What are your words? What is your song you're singing over and over and over again? The same old ways of doing this thing that we call life is not working in this way, and it will never work as long as we tell ourselves, I can't do this, or I am not this powerful child of God. All it takes, and I've seen this, I came to Unity in 1984, and I've seen hundreds and thousands of people change their lives and heal from whatever they keep telling themselves by changing their minds, by changing their hearts, and taking a new thought, a new idea, a new way of doing this life. If you're willing simply just to entertain the idea that your life can be a happy one, that's all God needs to do the work through you. You've opened up something in your heart and your soul for God not to come in, but to come out. God is in here and looking to express fully from within. And then what happens is the right people, the right situation, the right circumstances all seem to come miraculously together. They come up for you to achieve exactly what your desire, what your dream has been. And then your time on the planet is spent in the way that you meant it to before you even came here. Kathy's reading about Jesus and the epileptic child is such a powerful story. The father says, help me in my unbelief. I'm willing to have it done. I just need help in knowing that can be the truth. And Jesus said, a mustard seed faith is all you need to say to the mountain, get out of the way. Just a little bit. God just needs a little bit of willingness to do the work. And remember what the father said, if you can, heal him. And what was Jesus? I love what Jesus responded here. He said, if you can. It's not about me, it's about you. Where's your faith? Do you believe your son can be healed? It's all about you. I'm just a conduit, but I can't work unless you work. Remember, he went home to Nazareth and no miracle happened there because everybody said, you, the carpenter's kid, what are you doing? You're in New York doing what? That'll never work. You'll be home in a year. I know it. Guarantee it. You'll be back to making desks, chairs, this healing thing. Who are you kidding? Jesus. Little Jesus, please. Today we go, oh my God, how could you not see that? But back then I was like, oh please, who are you? You're a kid. I once counseled a woman who thought it was really difficult to have the career that she wanted as an actor here in New York. She said, it's just not working. What am I doing wrong? I want this to happen, but I don't know what's going on here. And I asked her just to work with this affirmation. God has the right and perfect well-paying work as an actor for me. Just work with it. Thank you, God. That's all. Just work with the affirmation. Don't argue with it. You know, sometimes we argue with it. It's fine. But say it anyway and affirm it like you mean it. You're an actor. You can do it. You know. Pretend. That's what actors do anyway. Pretend it works. And it will. God has the right and perfect, well-paying work as a New York artist, whatever that might be and whatever definition you give to that. Thank you, God. So if you consider yourself a New York artist of any kind, I want you to know this with me. God has for me the right and perfect, well-paying work as a New York artist. Together, God has for me the right and perfect, well-paying work as a New York artist. Some of you were, I believed. Other of you were just saying it because I told you to say it. God has for me the right and perfect. But here's why God doesn't, okay? Blah, 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 blah. In my counseling, in my time with all the actors and artists here in New York, you keep telling me why exactly I'm wrong. Oh, you don't know. Okay, so tell me. Oh, yeah, okay, so that gets in God's way. God can't do anything through you because, not because of that, but because you're telling God, God, you can't do that. Saying, God, no, this is impossible. I know if God wanted to, God would do it. God cannot do anything unless you give God permission. Are we clear about that? You have to give God, I have to give God permission to move into my life. And I do that by affirming with power, with faith, with joy. If that is missing, my words have no power whatsoever. I'm just going bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, which means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. So I had this woman, this actress, working with that. Eventually, she said she got into an ensemble on Broadway. She started working. She moved on to cover the lead. She took over the lead, and she went on vacation to L.A., and that's where she's working now, making a lot of commercials. She's a well-paid actor. Well-paid. From striving to thriving, this woman is doing what she loves to do and getting paid for it, which is what you're here to do, to live your dream and know that that's one channel, that's one of the ways that God has to bring the good through you. God is your source, not your job. Your job is a channel of the source, but is not the source. You too, like that, like this woman, you can move up the mountain. Remember last week I talked about mediocre, mediocre literally meaning halfway up the mountain. Unfortunately, a lot of people stay halfway up the mountain. They go, I like the view here, it's not too bad, it's a little thin up there, I'm a little afraid to keep going. You know, this is really nice, I don't want an avalanche to hit me, so this is, I'll be a sharpa and just stay here. It's fine. It's not good enough. That's not what you're not here to go halfway up. You're here to go all the way up. All the way, all the way, all the way up to the mountain. And you can do that. You can move on up to your new career, to your new home, your new mate, to the new exciting life that you came to have, not to stay halfway, but to keep going, but to let God do it. You don't know how to do it, so let go and let God do it. But it will only happen if you are willing to change from the life that you have now, to be willing to give up that hole in the wall you call an apartment. Well, you don't know. There's not enough money. Well, there is not enough money because you say there's not enough money. Well, I don't know where it's coming from. No, you don't. Get over it. God knows where it's coming from. I want a mate in New York, but I can't find one. Well, with that attitude, I'm not surprised. Where are you? Get over here now. I am a loving being. You will love me. Like Jennifer Holliday screaming it. Love me, love me. That doesn't work that way. It's very ineffective. It's a great Act One curtain, but it's not a good introduction for you. The right and perfect and gorgeous girlfriend or boyfriend is waiting for you to say yes. I didn't hear it. You're a little quicker usually than. You know, I am hot. I'm desirable. I'm attractive. I'm a spiritual being. I go to Unity. Oh my God. What better could there be than this hot, wonderful, attractive, talented person who is a spiritual being as well to find the right and perfect mate? Yeah. Now, picture it. Picture that person. If you can't see the face, just picture it as a light coming toward you. Say, oh, where have you been? They've been waiting for you to say yes to them. Not yes, and I can't seem to find them anywhere. Or yes, and everybody I meet is an alcoholic. Or yes, and, or but. So drop that. I am a divinely hot child of God. Affirm that with me. I am a divinely hot child of God. Now take a look around. I should say, only look around if you're not with your mate. Yes. Only eyes for each other, Marcia, John. Well done. Good. But you have to know that. You have to feel the joy, feel the love, feel the excitement of being this thing, this individual, this love that you're looking for. If you're looking for love, you're not going to find it by going, I can't believe I can't find this person. I'm giving up New York in a week if this person doesn't show up at this bar tonight. You have an hour, go. But you got to feel the excitement, the passion of having the right mate, the perfect apartment, the well-paid leading role at the Metropolitan Opera. The full healing of that chronic back issue. You got to get excited about the healing. I know it's hard to do that sometimes, but that is what's going to bring the healing into your life, getting passionately excited and grateful that God is at work within you. And to continue using the words that support and celebrate your truth that you are aligning yourself with daily, that you are joyfully agreeing with. Then divine law says it is guaranteed to show up in your life in a way that you don't know about and in the time that you have no idea when is going to be. Ask, believing, and receive, Scripture tells us. The believing part takes energy, it takes joy, it takes zeal, it takes imagination to keep picturing it, it takes passion, it takes a faith lift. A lot of people are looking to do this instead of this. Right? I'll go to Park Avenue and get myself ready, and my right and perfect mate will show up. You know what really happens? Can we talk the truth? You get that phase of people go, oh, dear God. What happened to you? You look very shiny. And very tight. Where did you go? Well, don't I look better? Well, you look kind of painful, a little bit. But what is that doing? It's making me look younger. No, it's not. Okay, can we get truthful here? Yeah. A facelift does not make you look younger. A faith lift makes you look gorgeous. Yeah. It makes you look beautiful and exciting and sexy. Holy, glowing. Drop the facelift and let the faith lift. Let God lift everything up. We've all met people who go, you know, when you think about it, it's like, God, what a beautiful person that was. And then you look at a picture and go, they're not model pretty, but there's something absolutely gorgeous and riveting about them because their God self is shining forth so powerfully. And that's what we're looking for. The God self of us is going to draw your right and perfect mate, your right and perfect friends, your right and perfect life. Let God do it. Don't try to fix the outside. Fix the inside, and the outside will take care of itself. Right? Amen? Great. When you let go and let God, your role in your Broadway show is guaranteed. You don't have to do anything but show up for it. To be the joy, go, I want to hire this person. Why? I don't know. I just need to hire them. When you joyfully and gratefully change your mind and accept the dream that you have is really and truly God's dream for you, then your actor's equity principal contract will be in your hands before the audition is over. Or by the end of the week, anyway. Sometimes it takes a little time. The biggest block, and the only real block, is your fear. That's the only block I have, is my fear. The fear is false evidence appearing real. We know that acronym. It's not the truth of who you are. It's not the truth of a child of God. The fear that the director or the producer has your future in their hands. No, they don't. They just have that show. It probably wasn't yours. If it is great, you'll get it. If it isn't yours, bless them, and they'll remember you for the next time. The fear that the doctor's prognosis or diagnosis is the ultimate truth written in stone is not the truth of a child of God. They're telling you what they see and what maybe has happened in the past. God is stronger than any diagnosis. You've got to remember that. God is stronger than any doctor's opinion. God's opinion is the only truth of your life. We think that we fear that your mate leaving you is the end of the world. No, it's the beginning of your world. It's the beginning of a new life. Because if this person left you, even though as painful as it was, better to know now to be able to get on with your life, to have the right and perfect person come into your life, or simply be the right and perfect person and have a single life that's filled with joy and fun and doing whatever you want to do. So whatever is right for you, I heard an amen over here. Yes. An amen from experience, I understand. Yeah. But fear is the illusion that God is not strong, that this thing I fear is stronger than God. Fear is the belief that the challenges I'm going through in life are stronger than what created me and continues to create me every moment of my life. Again, the Unity number one teaching is God is absolute good. The goodness of God, the goodness of the universe is more powerful than anything outside of you. Your fear is an illusion because it doesn't come from God. The thing that you're afraid of does not come from God. So what are you afraid of? God is stronger than anything. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. And they say that outside of death, public speaking is the biggest fear. The biggest, I mean, people who are strong and can lift trucks and everything quiver and start crying when they have to think about speaking in front of other people. How many people, put your hand up, how many people are afraid of speaking in public? Just say, I just would just fall apart and just die right in front of you if I was to fall. Okay, great. Well, you know, the only way to change what we fear is to do it, is to move through it and to prove the truth that this is not from God. It's an idea that I've been holding in my mind that is not the truth. Who here of you who raised your hand and has never spoken in front of a group of people before is willing to come up here and do that now? I'm going to stand here until somebody gets up and comes up. Walk to the microphone. Let me lower it for you. I'm going to have you hold it. There you go.
Have to hold it.
Yes, you have to hold it. You put it near your mouth, and then they can hear you.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works. About you know,
right here?
A handful. Yeah, there you go. And point it towards your mouth. There you
okay.
go. Even lower a little bit. What's your name?
Diana Maltz.
How long have you been coming to Unity?
But maybe 3 years.
3 years? All right. Look at them.
Hi.
What are you feeling right now? Go to your heart. What are you feeling?
Frozen, a little frozen. And that's how I respond when I'm nervous.
Okay. Yeah, we are friends, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's just getting up and being in front of people who are waiting to hear what you have to say. So what is your dream? What's your desire in life that has not come forth yet? We're telling everybody here what your prayer request is.
I have two desires. I have one to get more clients as a health coach. So I'm doing a lot of presentations. I'm doing one Wednesday in front of a health insurance company. So I have a desire to do more of those. And I love them, I love preparing for them, and I love the interaction with people, but I'm still scared to death. And I get good evaluations, and I'm still scared to death.
What are you afraid of?
Someone's finding something wrong with what I'm saying, not remembering what I have to say. It's about more about me than them, and I realize that, so I try to remember that. It's more about them.
What's good right now? What are you feeling now?
A little better.
Okay. Why?
Because I'm being really honest with what I'm feeling and keeping my focus on what I'm trying to achieve.
Absolutely. When you focus on your message, when you focus on, not on you and what you feel like, where your arms are, how big your tongue has become. When you're focused on the truth, all of a sudden, you're not thinking about you, you're thinking about truth. So we're holding with you the truth that all information necessary for the unfoldment of your perfect life is at work right now.
Mm.
There's nothing to fear. God is at work. And if you could do this, you can move on to the next, right?
Yes.
Give Diane a hand.
Thank you.
All right. Woo-hoo! So what happened is you just changed your life. You just changed your life. And, you know, you could take this as a lesson. If you got up in front of people, you wouldn't die either. Because it does feel like we're going to die. The heart starts racing. We feel like we're going to fall apart. It feels like death, but it is truly is not. We fear speaking because we fear the unknown. Again, we are so focused on ourselves, we're not focused on what we're here to share, which is the truth. We don't want to change because it might mean that I will die in front of people. You're not going to die in front of people by getting up and talking. It does not. It doesn't happen. But you have to be willing to change your mind about that. I don't want to change. I don't know what's going to happen. And it might be really awful. But we all have heard, if you do what you have always done, you're going to get what? You're going to get what you've always gotten. You're going to get what you have reaped over and over and over again. Nothing new is going to come until you're willing to step up on the stage, get in the light and say, here's my good. I'm affirming, I'm telling the universe, I'm telling myself, I'm telling life, here is what my life is about. Our elder brother and teacher, Jesus, before helping anybody, as we heard earlier, was always asking, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be abundantly blessed? Do you want to be joyful? Do you want your life to work? Do you believe in this stuff? Do you believe it? Yes, I have. And as we heard, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I'm shaky in it. Even if it's a shaky faith, that's all God needs to work. And as he told the Father, all things are possible to those who believe. All things. Not just a few, but everything that you have ever dreamed or desired is possible when you say, yes, it's possible. I believe this is happening. But no one's going to do it except for you and except for me. We as powerful spiritual beings do have within us at all the times the means to have a better life. Everything is always changing. We know that to be the truth now. No matter what we do to try to stop it, it's going to change. Science tells us it's either going forward or it's going backwards. We're either going forward and opening ourselves up or regressing. There is no stopping. Even a great, wonderful relationship gets only better because it will grow stronger. The relationships that break up grow in different directions in some ways. But you're always changing. It's not the same marriage today as it was yesterday or a year ago or when you first got married. You know, dancers have a saying, one day without a class, you know it. 2 days without a class, your teacher knows it. 3 days without a class, the audience knows it. You always have to keep dancing, no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been doing it, you've got to keep doing it. You've got to keep singing, you've got to keep doing scales. If you're a violin player, you keep doing your scales. What did the Pablo Casals said at 95? Somebody said, why do you practice your scales every day? He said, I think I'm finally getting it. If he had to do it, how much more do I need to do that and to keep learning? Deepak Chopra says in his book, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind, in order to stay alive, your body has to live on the wings of change. At this moment, you're exhaling atoms of hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, and nitrogen that just an instant before were locked up in solid matter. Your stomach, liver, hearts, lungs, and brains are vanishing into thin air, being replaced as quickly and endlessly as they are being broken down. The skin replaces itself once a month, the stomach lining every 5 days, the liver every 6 weeks, and the skeleton every 3 months. By the end of the year, 98% of the atoms of your body will have been exchanged for new ones. In other words, you're not the same person you are a year ago. You're a completely new person. I almost didn't recognize you. we change so quickly. So if we didn't change and let these old things die off, these old cells, we would not be alive. So our bodies are doing what they need to do regardless of what you think about it. Change is going on every moment of your life. We're all aging. We're all family, friends, pets, everything is, if you're on the planet, you're aging. As spiritual beings having a human experience, we will all experience the transition from this body to the other side of life one day. As Woody Allen said, I don't mind dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens. That's an unknown change. You go, what's going to happen? How's it going to be? Oh my gosh, I don't know. And it's scary. It's scary for some of us. For some of us, it's not scary at all. It's like, okay, it's just a thing. Some people, they're not even aware of it going on. A 78-year-old man in Key West took 2 months to notice that his roommate had passed away. 2 months! After the police asked him why he didn't report that his roommate died, he told them, I didn't know he was dead. I just thought he was being stubborn and not answering my questions. Another time, the state of South Carolina didn't acknowledge that people from the spiritual realms don't read their mail. They wrote a letter. The late Philip Fleming was sent this letter from the great state of South Carolina. Dear Mr. Fleming, your food stamps will be stopped effectively March 1992 because we received notice that you passed away. May God bless you. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances. I love that. Things change, but not so much like that one. Oh, I'm back. Oh, okay. You can reapply now. And for our dreams, our desires, our good to come into our lives, we have to open our minds and hearts to the divine change taking place every moment. A man came home one evening to find a plaque on the kitchen wall that his wife had put up that morning. It said, prayer changes things. The next morning, his wife noticed the plaque was gone. And she asked her husband, what's the matter? Don't you like prayer? He says, sure, I like prayer. I don't like change. Get rid of that thing. It's making me nervous. Prayer doesn't change things. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes me. My different thoughts change me, my different attitudes, my different words. Because I am the only thing that needs changing. Well, not me, but my thoughts, my beliefs, my habitual words. I need to change my limited attitude to one that is unlimited and let God have free, full flow in my life. The father in the story needed to change his beliefs about his son's epileptic conditions. The disciples needed to change what they thought about prayer. There was a lot of change going on in that one scripture. But prayer is not mysterious. Our chaplains do it every single week downstairs, and you feel the effects of it. You feel open because of their faith. You tap into their faith, and all of a sudden you can let go. Prayer is simply a means of going to your heart, getting quiet, and listening with your intuition to what divine intelligence has for you. Prayer and meditation are really the same thing. It's making contact with the power within you that has all the answers, that is all the answers, and being quiet enough to really listen, having a heart full of gratitude and joy to be able to move forward with what you receive. Again, Jesus said, ask, believing, you can have it, and it will be yours. Lift your faith. Lift up yourself higher to where God has your good waiting. God has it higher, not down here. So when you're looking at the, oh my God, what am I going to do? It's not down there. Look up. Look up to the mountains. Look up to the hills. There's a wonderful scripture. I shall lift my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes. Lift your consciousness higher to joy, to hope, to love, to peace, to all life. Accept the healing, the prosperity, the peace of mind, the joy beyond anything you've ever known so far, but waiting for you to say yes to it. The unlimited goodness of God is waiting for you right now for you to give permission to God to do the work. Take a breath. Close your eyes. Turn within and know that you are truly God's perfect, brilliant, and awesome hot creation. You forgot who you are. That's all. You just forgot, and now you remember. I am a powerful spiritual being with all the good, with all the power of God inside of me. Breathe in again. Let go. We begin our time in meditation by singing our way into the quiet with, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. I invite you to let go. Let go of whatever fear or doubt you've been holding. Leave it outside and let God take charge right now. Time just a little quieter. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. Breathe in and let go. Whenever we're feeling fearful or uncomfortable, filled with doubt, the most powerful thing we can do, first of all, is take a breath. So I invite you to breathe all the way up, fill your lungs, and hold, and let go with an ah. Breathe in again. Filling your whole lung capacity up all the way down to your diaphragm. And let go in an ah. One more time. Breathe in. And let go of any tension, any fear, any ache that you have. Breathe it out. And let the chair support your weight. If there's still pain or discomfort, I invite you to breathe gently into that area. Breathe light and peace and serenity. And love. Breathe in the power and fullness of God into every cell, every tissue, every breath, every thought you have. Every part of your being is filled only with God, only with love, with joy and gratitude for the realization of who and what you are today. A spiritual being having a human experience. As we let go into that truth, we hold this affirmation of truth quietly in our hearts. I ask in faith for wholeness. I believe God is my health, and I receive my healing. Let that truth take hold. I ask in faith for wholeness. I believe God is my health, and I receive my healing. My job is to let go, to not try to figure out how God is doing it, but just to know that Spirit is at work. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for eternity. God has you. God will never let you go. Breathe that truth in. We also know this truth. I ask in faith for abundance. I believe prosperity is my right, and I receive unlimited success. Get excited about that truth. I ask in faith for abundance. I believe prosperity is my right. I receive unlimited success. You're a child of God with all the good, with the dreams in place, intact. They never left, even if you abandoned them for a while. They may look different now, today, than they would have 10, 20 years ago. But they are perfect just for you right now. I give God permission in my heart to move forward the abundant good of my life. Today I ask in joy for guidance. I believe that I am perfectly led to my good, and I receive all that I need and desire in my life. Breathe that truth in and let go of anything that is contrary to the truth of God. In the silence of your being, know that God is here. Let go and let God be God in you right now. All it takes is one quiet moment in the joy of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the fullness, the allness of God, to know the truth. I now ask for my good. I believe my good has always been here, and I receive the good that is mine by divine right. And for this realization now, and for eternity, we are grateful. And so it is.